Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, Minister of the Swiss Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation. Today is June 15, 2025, or it's the 21st day of Sivan, 2029. We're going to continue our study from Judgment and Harvest, Tract 3 by Vitya Hollow, and we're going to pick up where we left off from our last study. Okay, page 80, the second feast and the feast of the tabernacle. For the 120 disciples on the day of the Pentecost, being the gospel's first feast of the dead, it follows that the great multitude added unto the church daily thereafter. Naturally, were the gospel second fruits of the dead. Also, in the 15th day of the seventh month, continues the Levitical record of the Yahshua's commands concerning the harvest rite. When you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast unto the Yahshua 7 days, and you shall take you on the first day the boughs of the goodly trees, the branches of the palm tree, and the boughs of the fig tree, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Yahweh, your Father, 7 days. You shall dwell in the booth 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in the booth. Leviticus 39:40-42. And the wave sheaf, and the wave loaves are typical, then also the Feast of the Tabernacle must be typical. Otherwise, the ceremony would not have been observed as a part of the harvest rite. The type, the feast was to be celebrated at the close of the final ingathering of the year's harvest. Then, correspondingly, in the antitype, it must be celebrated at the close of the final ingathering of the earth's harvest. Which is nearing its fulfillment, so the time consumed in the producing and in the offering of the wave sheaf and the wave load, also in the observing of the feast of the tabernacle, is representative of the entire spiritual harvest time of the living and of the dead. Bearing out this fact, the spirit of the prophecy said, for the feast of the tabernacle was not only commemorative, but typical, for it celebrated the ingathering of the fruits of the earth and pointed forward unto the great day of the final ingathering, when the Yahshua of the harvest shall send forth his reapers to gather the tares together in the bundles for the fire, and to gather the wheat into the garner. At that time the wicked shall all be destroyed. It's the patriarchs and prophets, page 541. Plainly, therefore, since the first and the second priest of the literal harvest and its attendant rites foreshadowed a spiritual harvest of the first and second priests, they are to be climaxed by the antitypical feast of the tabernacle. I saw the saints, says the servant of the Yahweh, and the describing of the celebration for the leaving of the city, by the leaving of the cities and villages and associating together in companies and living in the most solitary places, where the angels provided them food and water while the wicked were suffering from the hunger and thirst. Early writing, page 282. Thus, the ancient Israel's dwelling in the booth typifies modern Israel's eventually dwelling in the woods. Irrefutably, therefore, the harvest of the Matthew 13 precedes the close of the probation and is in the time of the end gathering of the first and second fruit, the 144,000, and the great multitude, all the saints who are to be translated as the light focusing to this point clearly reveals that the Pentecost after the resurrection was for the end gathering of those who were to die. There must correspondingly be a Pentecost for the end gathering of those who are to be translated, and by the same token of the logic, the wave sheaf and the wave loads must have a double application, each for the dead and for the living, together comprising the total fruits of the antitypical. Continue page 83, where we got going to take off in 7 minutes for judgment and harvest. That's free. It's your heart up. This is the apostolic Apostolic Pentecost and the providing of the power for the ingathering of the second fruit up to the beginning of the judgment of those who are now dead, foretoken the final Pentecost, which is yet future, and which is to bring the power for the ingathering of the second fruits of the living, those who shall never die. In other words, those who died prior unto the final Pentecost are to be judged in the light of the truth rejected through the power of the apostolic Pentecost. From the baptism from the baptism to his ascension, that Sarah taught about the truth, which was to prepare those who accepted it to impart it. Then, and the day of the Pentecost, he endued them with his spirit to proclaim it with the power. Concerning the judgment, the harvest, the servant of the Yahweh declared, I then saw the third angel, said my accompanying angel, fearful is his work, awful is his mission. He is the angel that is to select the wheat from the tares and seek our mine the wheat for the harvest for the heavenly garner. Early writing. Now, therefore, be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong. For I have heard from the Yahweh of the host a consumption even determined upon the whole earth. Give ye ear and hear my voice. Hearken and hear my speech. Is Isaiah 28:22-3. And now that each one who honestly seeks to hear and to heed the voice of the truth may have the clearest possible grasp of the several aspects of the subject of the judgment, the harvest, for they are here at the brought into consolidated focus. The reader will remember that those who arose with Yahshua on the 18th day of the first month followed the chart on page 55 were immortalized and received into the heaven as the antitypical shoot, pointing unto the ingathering of the fruit that shall never die, where the resurrection from the dead signifies the beginning of the first fruit harvest of the 120 disciples who were to die and be resurrected, for the fact that the followers of Yahshua were not of the one accord before the resurrection, there's very positive testimony that the first fruit, the 120 of them that sleep, did not ripen, become fully converted until after the resurrection. For the 40 days that Yahshua personal presence on the earth after his resurrection was the time in which the first fruits were gathered in. For after his ascension, the apostolics closeted themselves in the upper room and did not emerge for the preaching of the truth until the Pentecost, Brother 120, who received the power of the Spirit on the very day the way of those were offered, were therefore the antecedential way of those, signifying the completeness of the first fruit harvest. Subsequently came the second fruit of the dead in the period of which the tares were commingled with the wheat. Wonderful indeed is the way in which Yahweh has worked out the plan of the salvation and revealed it step by step as necessary. When in the 1844, the investigative judgment of the dead and the indebtedness of the first fruits of the living began, he did not leave his people in the darkness concerning these events. The very first vision was since about received in 1844 was that of 144,000 first fruits, the servants of Yahweh, who shall never taste death. Early writings 13-15. Just as Yahshua and those whom he raised and took with him became the prototypical sheep, betokening the engendering of the first fruits, the 120 of those who are to be resurrected. So also when he entered upon his priestly ministration in the first apartment of the heavenly sanctuary, and present himself and his trophies before his father, they became the antithetical chief betokening the engendering of the first fruits of those who are to be translated to 144,000 living saints. In the light of this parallel, the spiritual condition of the 120 before the apostolic Pentecost is truly seen to typify the spiritual condition of the 144,000 before the future Pentecost. For the 40 days, Acts 1:3-9, from the resurrection to the ascension, are consequently typical of the period from 1844 to the fulfillment of the marking and slaying as recorded in Ezekiel 9 and Revelation 7:3-8, 14:1-5, respectively, and in the testimony to Genesis 4:45. Testimony Volume 3, page 266, also early writing, page 270-273. After the first fruits are sealed and the tares are removed from among them, they then being separate from the influence of the world, as were the 120 on the day of the Pentecost, will receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in as much greater measure as the increase of their wickedness demands a more decided call to repentance. Testimony Volume 7:33. For the first fruit of the day of the 120 being in numbered countenance, and the second fruits of the dead, the multitudes gathered after the Pentecost, then an unnumbered countenance, so correspondingly must it be with the first and second feast of the living. Hence, the seating of the 144,000 first feast, and hence after this, says John, have beheld and lo, a great multitude. There's no man could number of all the nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with the white robe and palms in their hands, and all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders, and the four beasts, Revelation 7, 9, and 11. Mark carefully that this great multitude stood before the throne, not bodily, but figuratively. Only as viewed in the early writings, page 55, and as is evidenced by the twofold fact, number one, the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, showing that the great multitude was outside of the angelic circle, and that two, the presence of the angels, the elders, and the four beasts about the throne shows that the judgment, Revelation 4, 2-6, was still in the session, and that therefore probation had not closed. For the palms in the hands of the great multitude, Revelation 7, 9, 11, and the victor's palm placed in every hand of the unnumbered host of the redeemed, the great controversy, page 646, betokens two entirely different events. For the latter received both a victor's palm and a shining harp, whereas the former had no harp, but only palm. Clearly, then, while the palms and the harps of the redeemed host in the heaven are the actual guerdons of victory, the palms of the great multitude on the earth are figurative victory palms. Now we see that by the testimony of the prophet, by the parable, and by the ceremonial type, Yahweh has wrought the towering structure of the fact that, number one, the judgment is the harvest, the separation of the tares from the wheat, the end of the world, and that, number two, the judgment, the harvest, embraces two phases, two periods, the former for the dead, the latter for the living, that three, the one takes place according unto the records in the books in the heavenly sanctuary, whereas the other takes place simultaneously in the church on the earth and in the books in the heaven. And that number four, the very fact that the subject is now being revealed in its fullness testifies that we are just on the verge of the passing out of the former and into the latter phase and period, and that we are therefore living in the last days of the earth's history. This fourfold view of the judgment, the harvest, thus exalts the truth of it as a pearl of the great price, and reveals that the depths of the Yahweh words are unfathomable. Its wisdom inscrutable and infinite, without beginning and without end. Its fund of the knowledge a perpetual fountain of the truth, its presence ever abiding, and its beauty ineffable. Now that the reader may be strengthened to hold fast unto this fundamental and all-important truth, as well as to all other truths, we urge him to follow Yahweh's method, inspiration, and the study of the scriptures, that he may thereby perhaps foremost among the multitude, thereby avoid the many snares. Okay. Perhaps foremost among the multitudes who are snared while doing all they can to run away from the inspired interpretation of the scriptures are the extremists, of whom there are at least two classes. One with a tendency to literalize, the other with a tendency to spiritualize. Take, for example, the Revelator statement. I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of Yahweh. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Yahweh, holy and true, that shall not judge and avenge our blood? Revelation 6:9-10. For the literal, on the one hand, would interpret the scriptures to mean that the souls were conscious and actually crying out, though the Bible is very explicit that the dead know not anything. Ecclesiastes 9:5. And two, were the souls under the altar literally crying out for the vengeance on their murderers, then to be consistent, the Yahweh statement, the voice of thy brother's blood cries unto me from the ground. Genesis 4:10. Also the statement, all the trees of the field shall cap their hands. Isaiah 55:12. Likewise must be interpreted literally in spite of the fact that it is impossible physically for blood to cry out and for trees to cap their hands. If all, however, are obliged to admit that Abel's blood could not literally cry out, and that trees can only figuratively clap hands, then again to be consistent, the person given to the extreme literalizing should easily take hold of the actuality that the dead know not anything, and that they are asleep, unconscious. He ought easily to perceive that the souls of the martyrs crying for the vengeance on their murderers, and that the blood of the Abel crying for vengeance on his murderer, are cases virtually identical in the circumstance and condition. Both of these find pointed illustration in the poetic utterance. I hear a voice crying out, the voice of the withering fear, O Yahweh, pity thou me. Let showers fall from heaven, quench thou my burning soul. For one soul to be imprisoned consciously under something for the hundreds of years, with nothing to do but groaningly to languish and awaiting for the resurrection morning, the while crying out for the vengeance on them that spilled one's blood, quite an inexpressibly unbearable state for one soul to be in. For the doctrine, though, of the unconscious state of the dead not only puts at peace the worried human mind, but also ascribes to Yahweh mercy and love for a helpless human being. Thus being the only position on the subject that can lead the sinner rationally to love Yahweh and to trust in Him, to the one who, on the other hand, is inclined oppositely to the slaughter the heavens by the new earth, etc. To him these have neither individuality nor reality, and when concerning the doctrine of the slaughter, he is asked the simple question, what kind of slaughter would a spiritual one be? He is at a loss to answer. For all these exist in this connection one great need. The spirit of the truth is light alone. It is to interpret the scriptures. I don't know. This brings verse 6, the hour contest, just the 11th hour contest, number 11. Pick on all you are, please.